You're listening to a message brought to you by Christian Life Church Hereford. If you would like to find out more about us, go to www.clch.cc.
Good morning. It's good to be here, and it's good to be in the presence of God together. I'm going to share this morning. We've now finished our look at the book of Colossians. So we've been through that book, and I really hope that you got a lot out of it, not just here on a Sunday, but in your own time going through the Word. And as was just prayed there, you know, what we want to do is really hear from God together, don't we? We want to hear from His Word. We want to capture what God is saying to us so that we can walk in that. And I want to look this morning at something that God put on my heart a number of weeks ago. And I want us to start by reminding you of a word that came a few weeks ago. How many of you were here when we had the all-site service together a few weeks ago? A few Sundays ago, we were all together. Yeah, all of us, all different sites, all came together. Okay, and one of the words that came during the service several times was a word about jars. Remember that? About jars. What's that all about? Jars. And actually, one of the part of that word was that God had taken, in a sense, us as jars, had removed the old labels that were on the jars. You ever done that? Yeah, the old jar, you've got to scrape off the label, get it off. It's never easy. And He's put on a new label. Or new labels. He's given us new names. Okay? We're beloved. We're beloved of Him. We belong to Him. And so we've got these new names. And one of the names that we have is the name that is familiar around the world. And it's called Christian. Yeah? Do we all profess to be a Christian? Yes? That's two of you. Hands up if you think you're a Christian. I'm still thinking of some of you, I'm not so sure. Pray with you afterwards. Christian. Well, that's a label I hope we wear with pride, to be a Christian. But what does it really mean? What is this name that we carry? This name that, in a way, sets us apart. You know, we can still put it on our, you know, on various things. What, you know, your faith. What are you? Christian. Okay, but what does that name really mean? You see, it's way more than just a name. It's way more. You see, yes, it says we're a follower of Christ, but there's much more to it. You see, when we look at the word Christian, then we're talking about Christ, Christian, somebody who follows Jesus Christ, yeah? But if you look at the word Christ, which is where Christian comes from, it is not a surname, okay? When somebody becomes part of a family, okay, so the women, you often change your surname, don't you? To the name of the else's surname, the husband's surname. Don't always. We are Christians. So we are those that have the name of Christ. But that is not a surname. You see, if it was a surname, he would be called Mr. Christ. Do we ever call him Mr. Christ? No. See, if we actually want to give him a surname, he would have been called Jesus Bar Joseph. Jesus, son of Joseph. That's what he would have been called. But he wasn't called Jesus, Mr. Jesus Christ, Mr. Christ. He wasn't like Mr. Jones or Mr. Marriott. That wasn't what it was. It represented far more than just a surname. It wasn't his surname. You see, Christ comes from the Greek. We're doing a little bit of in-depth Bible study here now, right? Christ actually comes from the word krio. Ding! It should come up on the screen. 39. Oh, there it is. Okay, so Christ in Greek, so this is Greek now, okay, all you Greek scholars, it comes from the word krio, which means to anoint with oil. Okay? Which is where we then get the derivative Christos, which is what they were calling him, which means the anointed one, somebody who has been anointed with oil. So Jesus Christ was somebody who had been anointed with oil. Okay? Peter used this very phrase when Jesus said, "Who do you think I am?" And he said, "You are the Christ." Something or someone said to him, "This is more than just, this is not just a mere man. This is somebody who's been anointed. This is an anointed person." And so he recognized this was Christ, the anointed one of God by revelation of the Holy Spirit. There's also another name that we use. Any ideas what that is? Messiah. We also use the word Messiah. Now, Messiah is the same as Christ, but in Hebrew. Thank you. So here we have the original meaning, the original word, the Hebrew word was Masach. Not sure I pronounced that correctly. And again, it means to anoint with oil. From that, we get the name Messiah, the anointed one. Oh, look. Same thing. So when we talk about Jesus, the Messiah, what we're saying is Jesus, the anointed one. When we talk about Jesus, the Christ, what we're saying is Jesus, the anointed one. Yeah? Got that? Fantastic. They say the same thing. What does that mean about us? Well, we're called Christians. Because, not just because we follow him, yes, we follow him, but who do we follow? We follow the anointed one. But we are called Christians because we are also anointed ones, like Jesus. So we are anointed ones following the anointed one. Yeah? That's who you are. That's who I am. I am an anointed one who follows an anointed one, the anointed one. So the name is far more than just, "Oh, I'm a Christian. I'm a follower of Christ." It's all about anointing. This is all about anointing. So I want to look at closer at anointing. What is this thing called anointing? What does it mean? And what does it mean for us? And how does that impact my life as a Christian today? Okay? So let's have a look at the definition of anointing. So anointing is this. It says this, it's the definition of anointing. Anointing means to smear or rub something with a substance. It often refers to the act of consecrating or dedicating someone or something by applying oil or another substance. This can be both literal and figurative. So what does that mean? Well, literal, it means you're actually getting some oil and literally rubbing it on somebody or something, in that sense. And it was used to anoint priests, kings, and prophets in the Bible. And we'll look at that a little bit later. In a figurative sense, it talks about an anointing of the Holy Spirit. So there's an anointing that is not just me putting oil, somebody putting oil on you, but there is an anointing of the Holy Spirit. But what we will notice and see as we look at this is that they are the same. Okay? We'll look at that a little later. So I really want to try and unpack anointing and what this is all about. And so I want to start by looking at where it came from. What's this anointing thing all about? Well, originally, the anointing oil that was used to anoint was made from plants and all sorts of other spices that were mixed together to then put in the olive oil to make this special anointing oil. Okay? And would you believe there is a recipe in the Bible for anointing oil? You see, God, when he asked Moses to set up the temple, the tent of meeting, the place where he wanted to meet with man, he also at the same time told Moses how to consecrate it, how to make it holy, by giving him instructions, the recipe for an oil that would be used to anoint it. That was all part of the process of creating a place where God could come and be with mankind. So anointing is very, very important. God said in Exodus 30, when he was setting up this whole thing, he said, "You shall consecrate them," that's the furniture and all the vessels, all the stuff in the temple, "that they may be most holy. Whatever touches them will become holy. You shall anoint Aaron and his sons and consecrate them, that they may serve me as priests." You see, God created anointing oil so that he could take what was man-made and make it something that he could use for himself. So where does anointing really come from? Well, if we look at the plants and we look at the things that created this oil, they reflect the plants and the life of what happened at the beginning of time when Eden was created. So anointing goes right back to the Garden of Eden. We all know the Garden of Eden. Yeah? We're all happy with the story of the Garden of Eden. See, the Garden of Eden was created by God. Earth was created by God. But in order for the garden to grow, there had to be an anointing. Oh, gosh, what does that mean? The anointing came because right at the beginning of time, if you look right back, you had the earth. But God had to create, in order for earth to produce life, there had to be water. So God created water. Water came. But God also breathed life. He spoke life into being. He spoke life. So the water and the Word, the Spirit of God, was needed to create life. Yeah, get that? Happy with that? So that was it, the water and the Word. Well, the anointing oil represents the water and the Word. But it also represents the life it creates. So the first anointing really was the anointing of God saying, "I'm going to take this earth and I'm going to make it produce life." But then he did something more than that. He took the earth and made clay. Now, how do you make clay? You make clay with water and earth. And then he breathed on that clay, and it had life. What did he make? Who did he make? He made man. Man was a combination of water and Word. We were always supposed to be a place where God could dwell. We were always supposed to be a place where you had, in a sense, the earthly and the godly together. That's us. Mankind. That's what he created us for, to be with him, to be a place where he could dwell, to be a place where he could be with us. But then we know the whole story of what happens after that. I'm not going into the fall at this time. I haven't got time for that. But what I want you to understand or get to grips with is that the first anointing was when God created man.
And in a sense, we are the anointed already, because that's what he did, through the water and through the word. Heaven touching earth. Now, that's quite an important phrase, heaven touching earth. I want you to remember that, because I think it's important for us as we look at what it means for us. Okay? But the first time oil was used to actually anoint something was when Jacob, okay, a guy called Jacob, he was having a bit of a problem with his brother. He was on the run, and he was in exile, and he went to sleep. And he went to sleep, and he laid his head on a stone. And when he laid his head on the stone and went to sleep, he had a dream. And what did he dream about? What did he see in his dream? Who can remember? Who knows? A ladder, Jacob's ladder. So he dreamt of a ladder. Now the ladder itself went from earth to heaven. And there were messengers or possibly angels going up and down it. But he dreamt this. And then what he did, having dreamt it, is he woke up and he said, this is an important place. And so he called it Bethel. The house of God. A place where heaven and earth meet. And so what did he do? He took the stone that he had the dream on and he poured oil on it. He poured oil on it. The place where heaven and earth met. So he took the stone under his head, set it up for a pillar, and poured oil on the top of it. Heaven touching earth. God and man meeting. A place of anointing. So anointing is more than just chucking oil on something. Anointing represents a place where God and man meet. A place where God touches earth. And it sets apart that place or that person. Calls it holy. As a place where God can come, where God's presence can dwell. Is that okay so far? Yeah? Brilliant. Okay. So, where does anointing come out? Where else is anointing in the Bible? What is the practice of anointing? Well, over the centuries, anointing has happened in all sorts of ways. The Jewish and Oriental nations used it, they put it on the head of a guest as a mark of honor. They would anoint their guest with oil. Can you imagine doing that now? Come on in for a barbecue as you go past. Hold on, slap some oil on you. Okay, way, get off. Put it on the barbecue, please. But that's what they used to do. It's a sign of respect. They used to use it for grooming, for medicinal remedies, for burial. It was applied to the sick. Well, we know that. Talks about the elders getting oil, laying hands on people, anointing them with oil. It was even used in war. They used to rub their shields on it, in order to make their shields more supple and agile and prepared for war. But I want to focus now on the spiritual aspect of anointing. The coming together of heaven and earth and the life that it brings. You see, spiritual anointing is all about consecration, dedication, and empowerment of a person for a specific God-defined purpose. And as I've already alluded to, there were three types of people in particular that were anointed with oil. Firstly, there were priests. So, you know, we talked about Aaron, great high priest, or the high priest at the time. They were anointed with oil to serve the people in the temple. They were set apart to bring God's presence. That's what they were there for. The second category were prophets. Well, what were they there? They were anointed, and they were often called messiahs, okay, or anointed ones. And they were set apart to bring God's word and to reveal God's plans and purposes for mankind. They were the prophetic voice. They were his voice on earth. And then you had kings. And the kings were anointed as God's chosen rulers, set apart to bring his reign, his rule, and his wisdom to the people of God. And yet, even with all these people being anointed, that it wasn't sufficient. It wasn't enough. And so God had to send us the anointed one, the Messiah, the Christ. And that's where Jesus came. So Jesus was, he is the anointed one, because he is the only one who was anointed as king, as prophet, and as priest. He is the only one who is all three. He is the anointed one. You see, as prophet, he pronounced the end to sin. You see, the old prophets, the olden days, they were the mouthpiece of God, as I said. And they would say, "Thus says the Lord." Whoop. They would be the ones that would call people to repentance. They would announce forgiveness and pardon from God. But Jesus came as the ultimate prophet. He came as the one who would not just proclaim it, he would be the one who would do it. He was the Word of God. He didn't just proclaim it. In the beginning was the Word. He was the Word. He came to the world because of sin and then proclaimed pardon and forgiveness for each one of us. As a priest, Jesus came to sacrifice himself for our sin. You see, back in the olden day, the anointed priests would be the ones that would regularly have to go in and atone for the sins of the people. Had to do it all the time. Jesus did it once for all. He was the ultimate priest, ultimate mediator on our behalf. And as king, there was David originally. There was, in a sense, the archetypal king. And he reigned over all Israel, and he administered justice and equity to his people. But now we have a king greater than David. He is the ruler of kings, the king of kings, the Lord of lords. He is the ultimate king. And that is why Jesus could stand up in the temple and say these words from Isaiah 61. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And that is why he could then say, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Because he was the ultimate king, the ultimate prophet, the ultimate priest. He was anointed as all three. He could stand up and say that. So he was the ultimate anointed one. He was the Messiah. He is the Messiah. He is the Christ. He is and was heaven come down on earth, Emmanuel. Notice again, heaven come down to earth. As an anointed one, he was the place where heaven could come down and touch earth. But he didn't just leave it at that. You see, he's no longer on the earth. He is now in heaven, seated at the right hand of the Father, interceding on our behalf. But he didn't leave us alone. He said, "I will leave you my Holy Spirit." You see, when he came down as the anointed one, he left with anointed ones to carry on his work. Christians. You see, if we go back to before the whole Acts thing and the whole church thing, I have to say I actually missed it. I didn't realize I missed this. But I'm going to read this to you. It says, love it. In John 20, it says this. So he's not gone to heaven. He's had his crucifixion. He's died. He's been raised to life. And he appears before his disciples. And he does this. He commissions and anoints them. This is before Pentecost. This is before it. He says this. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Holy Spirit, the breath of God, the Word of God. Before Pentecost, Jesus anointed the disciples. And in a way, Pentecost was an outworking, was something that the world could see of what had already happened in their lives. An outpouring of an anointing upon them. Because that was Jesus' aim. It wasn't just to come as the anointed one, but to leave with anointed ones. Those who could continue to do his work on earth, the way he did his work on earth, with the same anointing. The same anointing. So when he says, "I have come to proclaim good news. I've come to bring freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free," and so on. What he has claimed for himself, he has also claimed for us to do as well, because we are anointed ones. Okay? We are a holy nation, a chosen race, a royal priesthood for God's use in his kingdom. We are anointed ambassadors of Christ. And so when we follow Christ as Christians, we follow Christ as anointed ones, people who can bring heaven to earth. Remember, the place of anointing is about heaven and earth meeting. So as anointed ones, every single one of us are in a position where we can bring heaven to earth. Doesn't that excite you? Come on. Wow. We're anointed, therefore, we have a way, a gateway that allows God, his presence, to come. Come on. There's a story, I haven't got time to go through it all, but there's a story in Acts 3 where Peter and John are just doing what they normally did every day. And they were making their way to the temple to pray. Nothing unusual in that day, just a normal day. Until a lame man says, "Oi! Is there anything you've got for me? Got me some money?" And they say, "Well, we haven't got money. We haven't got anything like that. But what we do have, in the name of Jesus Christ, get up and walk. Be healed." Ooh, wow. What happened there? Why? How could they do that? Because they were Christians, anointed ones, who could bring heaven to earth and touch that man's life. When they prayed, they were anointed to bring heaven into that man's life. Changed him radically forever. Why? Because they were anointed ones. Just doing their normal everyday stuff. They didn't go out specifically to go, let's go out and do a healing meeting on the street. Sorry, that's fine, that's great, no problem with that. That's not what they were doing. They were just doing their everyday thing. What do you do every day? Go to work? Go to school? Go to college? Run a cafe? What is it you do every day? Day in, day out. And one day you might get confronted by somebody who says, I really need something. And you say, well, do you know what? I haven't got that, but I'll tell you what I have got. I can pray for you. But when you pray, because you're an anointed one, heaven comes down to earth. God's presence is there. Can you see why being an anointed one is so much more than just being a follower of Christ? Can we? Come on. Wow. Have you ever wondered why? I'm coming to the end now. So I want to respond to this God's call of being anointed. Have you ever wondered why sometimes people go, that was an anointed preach? Clearly not. Or, wow, what an anointed time of worship. Or that man, that, he's so anointed for that. We use the word, what are we really saying? Well, I believe what we're really recognizing is that when we see that, or we're in that worship, or we listen to that preach, or we see that and go, wow, it's because what we're seeing is God's presence. It's heaven touching earth at that time. In a sense, in a greater, more obvious, more manifest way, yeah? You know, there are times when, you know, we have worship. God, this is so good. Why? Because God's here. His presence is evidence. When somebody preaches with, it's not me, but when somebody does it, and you go, wow, that is so good. It's because God is moving. God is active. It's His presence. It's not my gift or your gift. It's not your ability or my ability. It's not down to that. It's down to the fact that you are an anointed one of Jesus Christ, anointed one of God, and you, by being who you are, you can touch heaven and change earth. Come on. Well, I'm enjoying it, even if you're not. Oh, God, I just want to be effective in that anointing. I want to walk in that anointing. Do you? Do you? I want to be a Peter or a John. And I'm not there. Believe me, I'm not there. I want to be a Peter or a John. When I see a situation, say, do you know what? I'm going to pray for you. I'm just going to pray. Because I've got faith. I've got anointing. I'm not to say anointing. That sounds horrible. But I've got faith to believe that God can do something here. Let me just pray with you. Let me stand with you. And I just want to see lives changed. I want to see them meet God the way I met God and radically change my life. And we can all do that, not because, you know, we're anything, well, we are special. We're anointed ones. But how do we do that? You see, it says we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Well, what happened in that first temple? Everything in that temple was anointed. Yeah? Not just the priest. Every implement, everything that was created, every part of it, physical or non-physical, in a way, was anointed, set apart. That's why I say it doesn't matter what you do in your life. It doesn't matter what you know, who you are, what you are in a sense, what job you do, or whether you work in full-time ministry or you don't. It's irrelevant. Because you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, every part of your life is anointed to bring heaven to earth. Every part. Not just on a Sunday. every day, every part, everything that you have, every gifting, everything, every opportunity is an opportunity for your anointing to come into play. The oil of the Spirit poured on us and then poured out. And as anointed ones, the way we do that is by following and fixing our eyes on the anointed one. Yeah? This morning, everything was about turning our gaze to him, wasn't it? Fixing our eyes on Jesus. And that's the way we do it. We fix our eyes on him. You see, we are influenced by what we see. Yeah? What we look at is what feeds us in here. So when we fix our eyes on Jesus, what you do is you find the more you fix your eyes on a person, the more you follow that person, the more you become like that person. As you see them do things, so you do things. We fix our eyes on Jesus. We do it through the word. We do it through prayer. We do it through worship. We fix our eyes on Jesus. And I just want us to respond to that this morning. It's not about having goosebumpy feelings, but you might get it. It's not about falling on the floor and having a good giggle, but that might happen. It's not about losing control, although you might. It's about wanting the anointing in your life, in my life, such that we start to see heaven changing earth. Come on. Who wants that? Who really wants that? Who said, do you know what? I just don't want to do this mundane Christianity stuff anymore. I want to see God's power. I want to see God move through me, with me. I don't care, but I want to see God move. Well, we're the ones who have been called to move him, in a sense, because we're the anointed ones. Can I just ask the band, come back up, please. I feel God is inviting us this morning to ask for a fresh anointing. Yeah? Ask for a fresh move, pouring of the Holy Spirit into our lives. And that's what I want. That's just what I want. That's what we need. That fresh anointing, that setting apart. See, setting apart doesn't mean you go away distantly. It means that you are something that in the midst of everything else that's bad, there is something set apart that is good, that can affect and impact what is going on in the world. Last week, Leslie shared about a situation where there was a plague that came by God to the Israelites because of their sin. And Aaron, the high priest, ran into the temple, took the censer that was on fire with the coals, and he took it and he stood in the gap. And where he stood, those on one side survived, those on the other didn't. He stood in the gap for those that were going to die. That's what we are as anointed ones. We stand in the gap. So can I just invite you, please, if you want in any way a fresh anointing in your life, if you want more of God in your life, if you want a greater sense of purpose in your life for what God is doing, I just want to invite you to stand right now. Because if we just sit here and that was nice, that was anointed, or not, then
don't want it to wash over us. I want it to wash through us. And to do that, you know, in a sense, we don't need to respond. We say, yeah, God, I want that. I want that. But just, if you want to put your hands out and just start to say to God, yeah, I want that fresh anointing in my life. I need that fresh anointing in my life. I need you afresh in my life. Lord, we stand before your throne this morning. We stand before your throne of grace. We can't earn it. We don't deserve it. But God, you have poured it upon us. Father God, we are so grateful for your love. We're so grateful for your mercy. Lord, you've chosen us to be anointed ones. You've breathed life into our lives. And Lord, we want to be those that touch the lives of others with your love, with your life. We want to be that place where heaven touches earth. We want to be that place where lives are transformed. Oh Lord, say come, Lord, have your way right now. Just invite him to come in your own way, in your own words. Just say however you want to do it, however you want to say it. Let's just be those that say, yeah, more Lord, more of you, Lord. As you do that, you may start to feel a sensation you've never felt before. You may want to start to sing. You may want to start to cry. You may want to laugh. You may want to whatever. See, it's letting go of our emotions and allowing God just to work in us. You may want to speak in tongues. You may never have spoken in tongues, but you know, suddenly you may find God's going to show you. You start speaking in a strange language. Come on. That's the anointing. That's the anointing. Oh, Lord. We fix our eyes on you. We lift our eyes to you. Thank you.
I'd like us to pray for one another. And if you are, you just so desire a fresh move of God in your life, I'd like you to put your hand up. Just say, yeah, that's me. I just want a fresh fill. I just want more this morning. I just want to walk out of here fuller than I came in. I want to be overflowing this morning. If that's you, then just put your hand up in response. And what I want, that's fine if it's not you. It's not a problem. I'd like you to look at somebody who's got their hand up. And I'd like you to find somebody who's got their hand up. And I'd like you to pray for them. And I'd like you to say, Lord, more Lord. What it is, more Lord. More of you in their life. Pray a blessing upon them. Can we do that now, please? Let's be active. Let's be active here. So just go and find somebody near you with a hand up. Put your hand on their shoulder. And let's just pray for these people. And if it's still you, pray for yourself. That's fine.
Whilst Tony was sharing,